This is CliffCentral.com.
All righty. That's called Walk the Moon 1 Foot. Before that, Timo ODV with I Need You. We got into two songs. We haven't done that for ages. I was talking to Gord about Yuval Noah Harari's book, which is called Homo Deus, which he's currently busy with. We'll talk about that in a second. It's a great book. He's a great guy. I should actually try and get him as a guest. I believe he's quite accessible.
I would love to be involved in that one.
Yeah.
Where's Ken Bobinski today? I know you've probably covered this in the
Ken Bobinski is he's away with Daniela. I think they're on some romantic getaway.
Then Limpombo.
I would also be away with Daniela if she was my lady.
I think that's slightly inappropriate.
Anyway, someone said to me,
"Go, Ken, go."
Someone who knows both Ben and I really well said to me the other day, "Sure, your Ben's girlfriend is so hot."
She is a very good-looking and also a very nice lady.
Is that a compliment?
Yes, and Ken deserves all the happiness in the world. I too would be away.
Well, I'm Ken
Bobinski.
I'm side.
That's his porn star name.
But he won't be here for the rest of the week. So he's one of those people who did that smart,
long weekend thing.
Super long weekend. I was actually trying to text him yesterday, and it seems like his phone is even off.
Yeah, three days of leave for a 11-day holiday or something like that.
He's taking his proper downtime.
Or just be like me and don't have a proper full-time job. But take leave whenever you want, but don't get paid for it, and then come back with all the stress and pressure of the world on your shoulders.
Gord?
that came out loud. Sorry, that was my inner monologue.
Just calm down a tiny little bit there.
They've discovered a way to reanimate dead pig brains.
Yeah, dude.
Did you see the story?
Yeah.
Gareth, does this excite you at the prospect that they might do it with human brains and then you'll be able to live longer? Because to me, this
is... Forever.
It will get into the wrong hands and then I'm freaked out.
I just watched Pet Sematary.
See?
And between that and every zombie anything that's ever happened, I'm like, this may be a bad idea.
Oh, God.
But also, immortality would be cool, too. Think about the fucking fights you could get in. Like, if you could be brought back to life and you and your mate, like, you needed to settle some beef, you could have a fucking sword fight with ninja swords. And in the end, it's like, okay, well, sorry I killed you, bro, but you had it coming. When we can cure anything and we use stem cells and lizard DNA to regrow lost limbs, and like I'll be like cool. And also you'd need it, you'd be like, right, like my body's getting old and shit, I need to cut off some of the bits so I can regrow new ones, and I'd be like, I'll help you, I'll chainsaw you, bro.
Oh God, I don't know if I still want to be your
friend.
But
maybe like also the longer you leave it before you reanimate the brain, the more it deteriorates. So like you'd have like a slow mate and you'd be like, what happened? Well, he died and we only found him after a few hours.
Yeah, so we couldn't reanimate all of him.
Couldn't reanimate him properly.
So what are they doing now with the brain, with the pig brains?
Well, what they've done is they've figured out how to electrically stimulate them back into action.
Fully though.
No. I mean, they're basically those what they call pyramidal cells, which are the cells in the cerebrum.
I'm guessing those are sort of triangle shaped.
That's exactly why they're called that.
By pyramid.
You find them in the gray matter on the outside. You know the wrinkly part that they do. You know when they draw a brain.
The bit that looks like a Sharpay's ball bag. Yeah.
That's exactly. It looks like a correct. A ball bag. That. The outside of that is where
some old dudes have heads like that.
Yes. Visuals. The outside is where your gray matter is. The gray matter is the actual brain cell bodies. The rest of the brain is mostly the fibers.
Okay.
And the reason it's all wrinkly like that is to give it a greater surface area so you can have more gray matter so that you can have more RAM. More RAM and more storage.
It's just the... It's just like they've managed to take when an engine is considered kaput and totally 0% chance of scientifically ever being able to get it started again, but now they're kickstarting and it's going ring ding 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 ding.
That's exactly what's happening.
Ring ding 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 ding.
So don't get too.
They don't expect it to fire up and take to the freeway anytime soon.
No.
But it's not the limitation has been moved. The boundary wall of what's possible has been moved.
Correct. All right, so let's get into some news, shall we? You want to know what's going on in the world? Well,
no,
most of
it'll be depressing, I bet you.
Most of what people are talking about is the KZN floods. Yeah, I suppose that is kind of depressing. Mm.
ironically, sympathy and support is pouring in. Pun, okay?
That's a bit Gareth!
Gareth, but didn't you once say that you find it rude when people blow their nose in restaurants?
Where else am I meant to blow my nose?
The thing is, there's blowing nose.
Like the people having dinner at the restaurant, you could go to the bathroom.
You know what? The problem is this, right? I can't not be at work because I kind of have to make sure shit
we'll
happens.
We'll Skype you in tomorrow.
You should stay home and demand that people who are working give their money to the places you wanted to go.
Yeah, sure. That's a good idea. So I thought I'd come in and do the show anyway. And
I don't mind you blowing your nose, GC. I just know that you yourself don't like nose blowing.
Sia and I were talking about this earlier this morning. I hate being sick. I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't wrap myself up at home and overdose on medicine and call people and say, you know, I need help.
That's a jewel. You should do that.
I want to get on with it. The worst thing for me is staying sick for long. So last night I got into bed. Well, in fact, yesterday afternoon at like 5 o'clock when I eventually got home, I got straight into bed and went to sleep for like an hour or two. Then I woke up, made some supper, took 2 Disprins, got straight back into bed. And I thought I'd sweated most of it out over the night.
Woke up this morning. Fevery vibe is one of the worst vibes.
Yeah, I woke up this morning feeling a lot better, but it's obviously still a head cold.
There's a golden middle period, like middle zone in the sickness.
A golden zone.
Yeah,
because
there's just
the middle's the worst.
There's just a bit sick where you still cool to go to work. You still got to get your shit done, but you just feel cuck doing it, but not cuck enough that it stops you.
Yeah.
Then there's the golden zone where you're sick enough to stay home and need to not be like contagious to your workmates, and you're a bit too gross for work, but you still can incognito browse on the internet, for lack of a better way to put it. And then there's the one where you're literally just lying there trying to stave off death, and like curtains drawn, joints aching, sweating, you feel like you have the demons in you. That's like the shitty. But there's that golden zone where it's like almost a forced holiday. Netflix, Pornhub.
Oh, God, no. Pornhub, when
like
you're sick.
Guilt-free
oh,
takeaways.
No, dude. No. And I don't even like...
The people on the screen aren't sick, not physically.
I don't even like takeaways when I'm feeling sick. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I just leave me the hell alone. I won't bother you. I'll get better, and then we can get on with our
lives. I think you're brave. I think you're so, so brave, Gary.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for being here for us, Gord. Being brave.
All right, so let's get into some stuff. I've got some clips for you. You want to hear some things that are going on?
I love a good clip.
Okay, some things that are going on in the U.S. Let's dip into those quickly. So I don't know how interested you are in American politics, but the Democratic race is heating up.
Until they make James Hetfield Lord and Supreme Ruler of everything, I'm not really. But I do actually find these parts of these shows informative, because otherwise I would know nothing. So right, hit me with it.
I know James Hetfield, for those who don't know, is the...
Those who don't know must just turn off the radio now and go home.
No, Metallica. Don't be mean, because not everybody knows Metallica like you know Metallica.
If you don't know who James Hetfield is. Anyway, we're back to clips.
So the thing I want to play for you now is Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders are the three of the bigger people on the Democrat ticket, who are all now speaking out against Donald Trump and the Mueller report in a recent town hall meeting. Before we get to that, let's quickly go to Ngobile. Hey, Ngobile, what's up?
Oh, hi. How is everyone?
Aren't you on the South Coast?
No, I was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were. I was just wondering, because that place has been hit pretty hard by these floods.
Oh, yeah. A couple of people I know had their houses quite heavily damaged, and it's quite sad. So,
horrible.
Yeah, and my home also, I had to just phone in and check in, because last torrential rains we had, actually, our wall fell over. So it is bad, actually, when it's torrential rains in Durban.
What's on your mind?
No, I wanted to ask, have you guys started the death pool for Game of Thrones?
Oh, you know, Sia, do we still have it somewhere? It's on record. We must dig that out, because I think we've already all got like our names on there in terms of who we. But Game of Thrones. All right, so you're on to. Have you watched up to episode 2?
No, I've only seen episode 1.
Of course, I haven't. No, I'm lying. I'm saying.
Okay,
of course,
so
I have.
Here's the good news for both of you. If you have or haven't, episode 2 came out this week. Nobody dies. It's the first episode in Game of Thrones where no one dies. But we've only got. How many episodes they have in this season? I think they're 8 or 9?
6.
Is that only 6?
6 or 7.
Oh, jeez.
6 or 7,
okay.
I read.
All right, so who's definitely out? Who do you think is definitely going to die, and who do you think will make it to the end?
So I have my suspicions that at the end, Danny or John is going to die. Because
one of them has to, surely.
In episode 2. Right. So I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But obviously, it kind of changes the whole situation where I now think Danny or John is definitely going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But the first person to die, I suspect, would be the Hound or Jamie. Yeah. Or Tormund.
We're going to have to lose.
Yeah, one of those three's got to go.
Unless they've completely like polished it and Hollywooded it for the finale, which I actually wouldn't mind that much. Nice to see a happy ending, but there shouldn't be. You would expect one major character from every faction to die. So you would expect that Cersei or Jaime have to die, or the small gentleman.
The dwarf.
Yeah, you would expect that like either Daenerys or Jon Snow have to go, because they don't get their happily ever after, especially since they... That's no longer appropriate.
If George is anything to go by, if he's following the history of the War of the Roses, then definitely there's going to be more deaths than people who survive.
But it's off the George Martin plan. It has been for, I think, the last 3 seasons. So they kind of, the Hollywood writers in conjunction with him, have got free rein to take it where they want. But at least someone of the House of Stark that you know and love has to die. I think they have to lose...
Somebody has to become the Night King.
Yeah, or the cool young badass little
Arya,
like young one. That's
don't speak about Arya. Oh, our sister. Oh,
yeah. Someone you care about's going, bro.
I think they could kill off the redhead sister Sansa.
She's been through so much.
Yeah, they could
and
kill
all
her
with
off.
That dour, sour
she's
face.
Got such a, well, do you blame her? Her life's been shit.
Yeah.
She's been so sour, though. I think that she needs to.
Her honeymoon night stuff freaked me
out
badly.
Honestly,
dude.
I think that girl's had such a shit life. She's beyond redemption. She's got to go.
You know what would reflect true reality? If Danny, John die and Cersei lives. That would be a true reflection of life.
Yeah, she should actually win because she's brutal. She's like dedicated to just anyone who doesn't want to do her vibe
her
gets fucked and not in a good way. And sometimes in a good way.
We hate her, right?
As much as I don't
she's
like
so hot
Euron.
Though.
So I'm saying as much as I don't like Euron, him versus him and Ramsay, I think they were the two best villains.
Yes,
as
Ramsay freaked me out. That Ramsay reek shit almost made me stop watching. There was a scene years and years and years ago in Oz where a prison guard who was trying out for the NBA got his tendon cut, and it was so graphic, and then also they gave a prisoner a dog and you knew it was going to go badly, where I stopped watching because I was like, fuck this. Trauma level has now exceeded the entertainment threshold. I almost bailed because of Ramsay. I almost couldn't handle it.
But anyways, your dead thing up. Please all put my name there. Those are my predictions, and I really want.
Okay.
But look, in order for me to be entertained, like from season 1 to 4, because season 1 to 4 were the best ever in television I've ever seen. 5 to 7 were the worst, but I would love.
You know
that irony of reality prevails where bad people actually succeed, because in reality that's what happens, you know. So unfortunately.
But George Martin did say in an interview that people are like, how can you kill off your beloved characters? He's like, they always do some major transgression, like even though you don't necessarily see it that way. Like Ned Stark, he
cut off that one guy's head.
Yeah, he did a thing that's not supposed to happen, and then it caught up with him.
So I don't want to go into just this, because for non-geeks, it's going to be boring as hell.
Mm.
And a lot of people make it a point of saying at the office or you know, in social conversations,
don't bring it up.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. Like, that's some kind of badge of honor, which I think is boring, because if you don't know...
like announcing that
I'm not into astrology, so who cares, you know?
No, you must announce that you're not into astrology.
No,
people
must
stop
it's
that
just,
shit.
It's not a position. Anyway, Nobile, I wanted to ask you one other thing. So...
Yes.
Game of Thrones comes to an end this year. Star Wars comes to an end this year.
Well, the current saga comes to an end.
Right.
They will continue making
Disney
Star Wars movies.
Yeah, they'll carry on making movies.
But Star Wars, to be honest with you, Star Wars right now, the reboot is actually crappy.
I
so
agree.
SJW, I really can't watch it.
I like it.
No, I watched Solo. I'm with you.
Solo was... Dude, what did you think of Solo? Please tell me you liked
Solo
it, because
okay.
It was the shit.
Oh, no. So it was okay. It was not
Hold
better
on.
Than Rogue One.
I don't want to hear you two saying how great or how shit something is. The point I'm getting to is the third thing that's ending this year is the Avengers.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's going to be next level.
I've got to warn every woman in the world who doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about, even though there are girls who love these movies.
Gareth Cliff!
every
so sexist.
You're so sexist. There are very few girls compared to boys who love this stuff. So let me just explain to any of the girls who don't know why the hell their man might be in a clinical depression from the middle of this year on. It's going to be because all three of these great shows, which are
dude, epic, a lot of women love Game of Thrones, though.
Sure, of course, I'm not denying that. But Game of Thrones, Star Wars, and the Avengers all come to an end this year. It's a major calamity for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a calamity.
You know, think about it. But the stage is set for successes.
At the end of the tunnel.
What's that?
Rick and Morty.
Oh, yes, dude! And he saves the day by bringing my broken heart back to life. I cannot fucking wait
and
for
remember,
Rick and Morty.
It's gonna be 70 episodes, so we have a long run of Rick and Morty.
I'm sorry, but what if it's hugely disappointing, but it won't be? Dan Harmon is too dope.
Listen, thank you, both of you. This has been nice.
Let's chat offline, you and me. We can be friends.
All right, thank you. The geek out of Mobiland Gord will not be available.
You get to ask him about Mortal Kombat.
Sorry, no.
Damn it, go.
So I want to go back to what I wanted to talk about, which is the U.S. political situation.
Oh, yeah, that fun stuff.
Come on, this is fun. This is the real world.
Who needs Game of Thrones when there's politics?
It's the real Game of Thrones. The big throne is the one that...
I got the metaphor straight away, but thanks.
That the Baratheons currently have under Donald Trump, right? He's like that old fat king.
He's like the mad king with the dragons.
Probably. You could call him that. So this is Kamala Harris, who could be like a Cersei.
Which is also a suitably Game of Thrones-esque name.
It is, Kamala Harris. Then... you've got Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, as Trump calls her. She's more like she's like that old granny who eventually drinks the poison.
Oh, yes, the one that orchestrated Joffrey's downfall.
Correct.
I will be eternally grateful to her for offing that little fuck.
And then there's Bernie Sanders, who's like that old man who gets closed up in the tree.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. Here are these three. Just listen to what they have to say about the Mueller report, which, by the way, I explained yesterday. And to anybody who wants to understand this Mueller report properly from the point of view of an objective rendition of the facts, because there are lots of people who are relying on the media, and a lot of people in the media have an angle, right? Particularly in media outlets like CNN and the New York Times or Fox News or... you know, the Drudge Report or any of those things. If those are where you get your facts, you have to be a little suspicious. If you really care about this, you want to say, I know Donald Trump is, and complete that sentence however you want, you've got to read the report. So I've done the most boring thing in the world, and I've read as much as I could of it. I honestly couldn't get through more than a couple of pages. But it is clear from the language in there that, A, Robert Mueller does not like Donald Trump, which is fine. Okay, you don't have to. And in fact, it's probably better that someone who didn't like Trump did this investigation.
For objectivity.
But he found, A, no collusion, and B, no prosecutable obstruction. This is massively important for anyone who says, oh, now that we've seen the full report, there is this or that. There is no evidence of collusion. None. You've got to get over it now. You've been lied to for 2 years by the Democrats and by the mainstream media that Donald Trump has been buddy-buddy with Russia. Go and look at his policies. He's increased sanctions against Russia. Okay? This guy has been thwarting Russia in Syria the whole time. What he does is he says one thing, he does the other. That's what someone who comes from a New York real estate business would do in order to get what they need to get out of a deal. And I know people in politics don't understand this because you're used to being lied to all the time. But when Donald Trump says, I like Vladimir Putin, he's a good guy, what he's doing is he's kissing Vladimir Putin's backside because he knows that he's a strong man, Donald Trump. He likes these, you know, these big strong guys. So he knows that if he says this about Putin, he'll get a better result out of it. Same thing he did with Kim Jong-un. Look what they've done with North Korea. It's the best relationship the U.S. and North Korea have ever had. Right? Undeniably. So he's going ahead and doing this. Robert Mueller's report is fairly comprehensive. It took 2 years for him to put this together. He dug around in every nook and cranny. What surprised me, having read the report, is that more didn't come out about what a schmuck Donald Trump is. I would have thought all kinds of other embarrassing stuff would have come out.
But some people, because they've trotted out this line so often now that they've got a stake in it, and they're going to look like idiots if it turns out there's no truth to it at all, some of them have to keep trotting out this Donald Trump is a conspirator with Russia line.
Isn't it enough that he's just a deuce? Let some people's shiny, yes, glowing deuceness that's visible from space in its magnitude be enough.
Right.
You don't need to try to make someone a murderer just because they're a deuce.
You're asking Let for too much rationale.
But I mean, you're taking away from his deuceness to try to make him...
Right.
There's enough to work with. Don't be greedy. You've got all the clay.
Don't be greedy.
Make a statue.
Well, this is the point. So here's Kamala Harris. They have to keep on saying that they're going to go after him, even though there's nothing. Robert Mueller said there's nothing. And please, if you want to disagree with me, I'm more than happy to share all kinds of sources with you where you can look at the report yourself.
Dude, Nando's pepper sauce. Terrible.
Okay.
He wants to share his sauces.
So here's Kamala,
I'm here
Harris.
For comic relief.
Right. Here she is, Kamala Harris.
I think we have very good reason to believe that there is an investigation that has been conducted which has produced evidence.
Yes. Just listen to what she's saying. We have reason to believe there is an investigation. What do you mean you have reason?
We believe there's been a report.
Yeah, well, there is a report. You don't need to...
Has reason to believe that.
But why is she saying it in such a convoluted way? Because you know what? She's out of ideas. Listen again.
I think we have very good reason to believe that there is an investigation that has been conducted which has produced evidence that tells us that this president and his administration engaged in obstruction of justice. I believe Congress should take the steps towards impeachment.
All right, so that's Kamala Harris.
She's talking about another report.
No, she's going to use this report as the basis for impeachment. Of course it's not going to work. To impeach a president, you need a certain number of votes. They don't have enough. So it's just, this is wind. This is her trying to make a noise, stand up for, you know, if you're anti-Trump, that is your position in the Democratic Party. That's all they're looking for.
That's what you're using on your campaign trail.
That's right. And you don't even have to, there's no cost to
you. Yeah, but it's also like, it's almost like Trump-ish to go... There's been an investigation, and without smoke, there can be no fire. So even though it came out that you weren't a dickhead, they still thought you were, and they investigated. So not credible. Like, they're doing that. They're saying, well, they investigated him for corruption, so there must be something going on. It's like, well, no, if the investigation came out saying that there isn't collusion, then there's nothing going on.
And here's the problem, right? When you cry wolf, like the Democrats have been crying wolf from day one, because they woke up. You saw this... Let me explain. I was in New York on the day of the election, and the next day there were a bunch of people in the street crying outside Trump Tower, protesting and shouting at the sky like they'd lost their minds, crying.
I remember a person sobbing hysterically.
Because Hillary wasn't the first woman president. Now,
because Trump is the first complete dick. I suppose he's not by a long shot the
first dickhead. That was not the point. The point was they lost and they can't get over it. And as a result, they've done everything they could. The Mueller report's just the most recent of their failures to bring Trump to his knees. Now, the point is, people like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have to say, well, we've got to take it one step further, because they're out of ammo. The elephant's charging towards them and they're out of ammo. So they've got to pretend they're reloading their gun because people are watching them, going, are you going to keep us from this elephant? And their supporters are crazy. The left wing of the Democratic Party is insane. These are the people who...
Yeah, they're the social justice warriors, restrict things in the name of liberty, ban things in the name of freedom, lynch people in the name of being nicer to everyone, equal rights for the people we like, and take away the rights of the people we don't to not like the people we like. A bunch of...
Yeah, all right. So here's Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. She's even more left-wing than Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris seems reasonable by comparison with this woman.
Impeachment. If any other human being in this country had done what's documented in the Mueller report, they would be arrested and put in jail.
We have the most...
Well, isn't that interesting? So what are you saying? Like, Donald Trump's superhuman? Sounds like Elizabeth
any
Warren.
Any other human.
Yeah, she's making a case for him being exceptional.
Yeah, okay. That's reaching, but I'll give it to you. I'll give it, but like that you should be a lawyer, because that's lawyery bullshit.
And
this lawyery
here's
my favorite, very lawyery.
Here's my favorite, Bernard Sanders.
I want mild Sanders. I mean, how birdie is it really?
You really are here. Comic relief.
Oh, I have got something to say. God, will you shut your face? Let me talk.
In jail.
We have the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country, somebody who's a pathological liar, somebody who the Mueller report said basically left the question open, which the Congress has got to explore, as whether or not he obstructed justice, a very serious crime.
Okay. He didn't just leave it open. He said he doesn't find evidence to prosecute, but if you guys want to go, go ahead. Now they're going to do it. So
good luck from Bernard J. Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and my friend Kamala Harris, because this is the last time you're going to see the three of us sharing a stage being nice to each other. Things are about to hot up before the elections next year. We're going to be very mean to each other. I'm going to find every reason to hate these two women shortly.
You know, there's, I think a lot of people say that a big factor in Trump winning, aside from how nasty the left are and how kind of pretentious and superior they are over the majority of America's population, which lives in the interior and feel disenfranchised and, you know, kind of picked on for being religious and American, etc. I don't like Trump at all, but there's reasons for why he became so successful. I think being a famous TV star person also helped, but part of it is that the alternative was Hillary, and she's just so like sauerkraut of a human being. Some people like it, but it's actually pretty myth. They run the danger of not – they need a charismatic, equally likable candidate to stand against him, because, I mean, a lot of American politics, and politics in general, is the cult of personality.
Sure.
Policy is less important than how much people like this guy. If the fucking Rock ran for president, he'd win.
Probably.
He would.
Probably. If Oprah ran, she could win.
God, no, yeah, Oprah, but there's enough people that hate her to make that an interesting – nobody hates the Rock. How can you hate the Rock?
That's probably true.
Unless you're the paper or the scissors, the Rock is the shit.
All right, Elson, hey man, what's happening?
I'm great, how are you?
Good, haven't heard from you in a while, what's news?
Oh yeah, it's been a minute. Well, actually, I was going to speak about my own government, but because I called in, and again, just like clockwork, we're talking about Trump.
Sorry.
I remember there's a guy that sent you an email and called you Don Jr., and initially you didn't get what he meant. You speak about Trump so much, that's pretty much what that was about.
Do you want me to stop?
Less Trump news. Please, not to stop, but just talk about him less. I mean, you speak about Trump a lot more than your own SA politics.
I don't know if I agree with that. We got into some SA politics.
Oh, you're always late. You don't know shit.
I don't work here. I don't work here. I don't have to be at any specific time, mate. I'm helping.
All right, so what did you want to talk about, Elson? You've spent the last while telling me what I shouldn't talk about.
To my own government. Well, there's a couple of things, because I was listening in before I got on with you guys. Is you mentioned how you expected a lot more than what came out to make Trump look like an ass. Mm-hmm. I did take a look at part of the report as well, and a lot of it is blacked out. So obviously it's because of national interest, but there's a lot more that we don't know than what we do know, which was obviously taken out.
National security stuff. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the names of certain agents, the kinds of foreign intel that they might have brought in. And remember, because this is a foreign investigation, it has to do with Russian intelligence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be stuff that is not for public viewing, because it has to do with, you know, denuclearization or NATO or the conversations at summit level between leaders. Is a lot that has to be left out, because it's not really,
and
it's not, and if it's blacked out, if it's redacted, it's usually not necessarily important to the finding.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a couple of things as well that stood out, which was, well, number one, you know how they say it's not what you know, it's what you can prove? And because when this guy released the report, they said this does not 100% exonerate him. They did find stuff, but obviously they could not prove it, and it's stuff that they could not prosecute.
he's by no means exonerated. You're right.
Yeah, there you go. And even when he found out that Mueller was doing the report, you heard about his reaction, right?
Yeah, he said, oh, fuck, this is the end of my presidency.
There you go.
But did you read a little further? Did you read the line that came after that? He understood that a special investigation like this usually means the end of a presidency. That was his understanding. So wouldn't your reaction, if you thought that, also be, oh, God, this is the end of my presidency?
If I didn't do shit, no, I wouldn't.
No, but that's not – when a special investigator is appointed – to look into the executive like this. It usually has bad ramifications for the executive. So what person, especially an ego-driven one, wouldn't say, oh, fuck, this is the end of my presidency? I mean, I'd react.
Again,
like,
if I knew I didn't do shit.
Right.
No.
If someone said to you, SARS are looking into you, wouldn't your immediate reaction be, oh, fuck, I'm in big trouble? Even if you hadn't done anything, because SARS are looking into you. Come on,
no.
I mean, like, this is standard psychology. And remember, this guy's totally self-absorbed.
No, I hear you. But as far as I'm concerned, if I know I didn't do shit, I'll be like, yeah, sure, go ahead, man.
All right. Well, then you're a better man than most.
So what I wanted to speak to you about, well, there was two issues, actually. And I'm happy God is there, because the second issue is actually relationship-oriented. And none of you guys are in relationships or can sustain one, except God, I think.
No, mine fucked out horribly. So I'm also expert.
But thanks for being so sympathetic to us in our emotional problems.
Yeah, the chick in Spain was gooning loads of other people, basically. I try not to get into airing my own dirty laundry, but some of that laundry was dirty. Single and on the market for those people who agree with last week's listener who think that my personality takes me from a 4 to an 8. Hit me up in my DMs. So let me give you some bad advice. What's going on?
Yeah, tell us your relationship one first. We can get to the other one after.
Sure, no problem. So I had a kid about two years ago.
Mazel.
And the relationship with my kid's mom didn't work, so we agreed to co-parent. Towards around the time that my son was born, I had a best friend. I'll say his name. His name is Carl. So we were cool for quite a bit. I introduced Carl to everybody that was around me. Mm-hmm. Because
Carl's with your baby mother.
Because him and I used to do dirt together, I began noticing strange advances towards my then girlfriend, who's my baby mom now. Mm. So I told her about it, like, this guy's acting strange. I think this guy's interested in you. Nah, don't worry about it. He's your friend, yada, yada, yada. So my son is born. The relationship with her and I don't work. We split, but we agree to co-parent. So I fly home this past weekend for Easter, and she comes over to my house to bring my son. And so because she needed me to, I don't know, put some settings in her phone or something, because her internet wasn't working, so I did that. And once the internet was activated on her phone, messages began popping up.
From Carl.
And right at the top of a WhatsApp message, guess whose message popped up?
Oh, yeah, no. Man. This is similar to what happened to me my last Spain visit. I had a phone.
Oh, shit, really?
Some people have their WhatsApp notifications pop up over their locked screen. I don't go digging in other people's phone, but when it's right in front of you and a WhatsApp from just a friend, you can actually read it. It's like, I almost wish I didn't just catch you.
It's exactly how I felt. So obviously I opened that shit, because I was curious, right? So I open it, and I begin going back on the messages. And, well, first off, number one, seems these guys had a thing for nearly 1.5 years. That's where I stopped, because I realized there isn't any more that you can find out that you already haven't seen, right? So I kept scrolling back to past
that. So it goes
back
to before the breakup.
There you go, yeah. And what actually got me mad is obviously there were nudes being swapped.
That homie's not your homie.
What do you call it? Photos. What really pissed me off is photos of my son being sent to this guy. This guy coming to pick up my son.
Ooh.
So obviously I got pissed off, but I didn't ask her about it. I just gave her back her phone.
Why didn't you
I
ask
took my
her
son
about
and
it?
I don't know, because I couldn't predict how I was going to react, depending on what she was going to say to me. Given how upset I was, I knew how emotional I would be, so I just figured, you know what, let me just keep it to myself.
Sleep
so I just gave her back her phone and I let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you sure, first of all, I mean, this is an uncomfortable question, but are you sure the kid is yours?
Oh, no, I didn't even think about that.
That's a fair point. That's a horrible question, but it's a fair point.
For a second. No, it's not, because that crossed my mind. Well,
it should have crossed your mind. You're an intelligent
dude. It did. The kid looks exactly like me. I'll tell you. Like, so when I went home, the gardener that was there had never seen me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to introduce myself to the gardener, and I'm like, hey, we've never met before. My name is Elsa. And I was like, oh, no need to introduce yourself, because when I looked at you, I saw Eli. So Eli is my son's name. Sure. Yeah, so he's a spitting image of
okay.
me.
Okay, well, that's a good sign, but if I were you, I'd still do tests.
But that's right. but back to the thing. Like, are you asking what to do about the friendship or what to do about your baby mother?
No, fuck the
because this is not a friend, man. There's two schools of thought. Like, and then there's the third school of thought, the Nate Dogg school of thought. There ain't no fun until the homies if the homies can't have none. But we don't subscribe to that. On the one hand, I don't believe you own an ex, even if your friends are involved. Like, I had an altercation with an old friend of mine who lost his girlfriend. It's not that important, but it was also because of his own bad behavior. And then a few years later, having had more than one serious relationship in the interim, got very upset with me for starting to see this girl that I actually, you know, don't even really know through him. And I was like, you don't own an ex of yours from 3 years ago, and no one you know can ever date her again because she once dated you. So there's that. But at the same time, if your homies are getting involved with someone that you with or recently were with, it's just not okay.
Are you still there, Elson?
We lost Elson. Mm. That was my ruling.
Yeah, I got a
you
bit.
You don't own your exes, but at the same time, like there's a involvement time that you can't get involved with your friends' partners.
All right, so look, I think we all agree that your friend's a douchebag to have been lying to you behind your back.
Get that test, sorry, I had to say it.
He can't be your friend anymore, and I think you should get the tests. What else did you want to know? I mean, I'm not in a position to offer advice. What else do you want to know?
Yeah, of course. So look, I don't give a shit about this guy, but then as far as the only thing that I'm concerned is where you draw the line when your son is concerned. What she does with her vagina is her own issue. So whether to confront her and speak to her about it.
I would have a word.
Speak to her about it. Say again.
I would have a word. Clear the air. I mean, otherwise there's going to be a funny vibe. And I'm all about getting elephants out of rooms. That's me personally.
But Gord, what conversation do you have?
You just say, look, I know you're involved with this guy, and I know that you were involved with this guy when we were together, and I have sort of mixed feelings about his suitability to be around my son.
Just to get it off your
chest.
But
at the same time, you know, people being cheaters doesn't necessarily make them bad in other aspects of their life, you know. There's no one brush to paint a person with. So, you know, some people are good people, good to be friends with, good to do business with, but are prone to affairs. You know, again, not to air my dirty laundry, but my ex is a lovely person and very kind and very giving to people in need, but she can't be trusted She can't be trusted not to act on impulse. But, I mean, she's a great pal and she's a nice person. She's not evil. So, you know, he might not be a bad influence on your kid. You need to talk to her about it. You need to talk to her about it.
All right, let's
see. Yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, that's exactly what my question was going to be, because you know when you break up, you really don't have that much say when she moves on, who she's going to date and who she brings around your son. And it just so happens that I know this guy. That's exactly what I was going to ask. Like, I didn't care who she was going to date except when I found out it was going to be this guy. And the worst part of it is he's married.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
He sounds like a real tool. All right, so dude, there was another question.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't a question, it's just basic frustration with my fucking government. Can you believe this guy? I swear I'll be quick, because
you're talking about Emerson.
Can you believe this guy?
Nangagwa.
Yeah. You know how we're celebrating when Bob left and we figured there's hope, and when I was in Zim again, you remember I spoke to you about even my wife, and I ran into him at a mall. Story goes, and this is all over the news. Can you believe this guy? Well, so first off, these guys have put an extra 2% on every transaction you do electronically. So if you swipe, if you use your phone to pay for anything, an extra 2% is taken from you. This is to raise money, obviously, to pay back debts. But can you believe that this government hires a plane from Dubai, flies 7 hours to Harare, to take him from Harare to Buluweyo, which is a 45-minute flight? And these guys will pay nearly $250,000 for that shit.
I can absolutely believe it. I'll tell you what. We on this continent, we have to learn to stop being respectful to people like they're a chief. We have to start treating them as our equals, just like we want to be treated as equals by each other. We've got a problem here. We've got an authoritarian, hierarchical system, and the remains of that are deep in our culture, black and white people. We keep looking up. And I'm talking about maybe it's an older generation thing, because maybe younger people don't feel the same way, but the average age of a leader in Africa is in their 70s. The average age of a person in Africa is in their 20s. That can't work.
Yeah.
And these guys are taking advantage of us. They've learnt from the very worst kinds of colonial examples that they can exploit people in Africa to their heart's content, and they do it. We shouldn't allow it anymore. And it's just disgraceful that this guy got a plane from Dubai, that they're using taxpayers' money to fly 45 minutes from Harare to Bulawayo. It's ridiculous. Crazy. Ridiculous. And that they're charging you 2% on a transaction between you and someone else that they have no business being involved in. You are dealing with someone else. I'm buying a tire from Sia. It has nothing to do with the government. It's outrageous.
Anyway, this is frustrating, man.
Good luck. I won't talk about Trump anymore, but then don't bring up Emerson and Mnangagwa, please. All right, dude. Thanks very much.
Last time.
Really, all right, good luck.
Thanks, Elson. Yeah, good luck with that situation.
And some complicated War of the Roses stuff.
I wanted to get into some more news, but there isn't actually a lot of time left, so let's get to these messages. Morning, guys. Gord, Sia, just a thought. I think all these political party posters on the street poles, instead of spending our money on putting up posters, they should build houses or toilets for schools. I don't know anyone who will vote for someone because of a poster. Yeah, okay, so Josh, first of all, that's not your money. That money for those things comes from the political parties themselves. If you support a political party, you go to their meetings. I wouldn't. Go to their meetings, though, and tell them you don't want them spending that money.
I take his point, though, when it's taxpayers' money. I mean, for me, street pole posters are okay. Mm-hmm. That's all you should be able to do. Like billboards and building wraps and shit that costs loads and loads of money that's paid for out of tax can fuck off. But excuse my language. But street poles, it's like, okay, you're allowed to announce that you exist and say to people a little phrase that talks about your policy and vote for us.
It would be interesting, though, just to amuse Josh's thoughts for a moment, would it be interesting if there was a qualification criteria for anyone who wanted to be the ruling party or be the president? It's like, okay, you have to have done this and helped this many people and have invested in this much in the country. It would be...
But who settles? We'd have to have an election who decides what criteria. Those rules are.
Right.
Look, for heaven's sake, politicians are not going to allow themselves to be
policed.
No. Policed. They
invented that much.
Literally or figuratively, they won't allow themselves to be policed.
One rule for us, one rule for them.
Bless you, GC.
Mutimochots.
Those were powerful sneezes. And you fought. You bravely resisted. I saw that building.
Oh, my God.
All right, so you look like a xenomorph was about to climb out of your chest.
I felt those terrible. Cold spores.
All right, so here's a good one. You can be like the head in someone's basement, like on Santa Clarita's diet. You run the business for them. In other words, this is if we could reanimate your brain.
I don't know.
A conversation from earlier. I guess you won't get the reference if you didn't watch it, says this person. But I agree with Gord. After Pet Sematary, it's a bad idea to reanimate.
And back to Mortal Kombat, Shinnok, the evil elder god, is now just a head with no body living in the nether realm, being eternally tormented by evil Liu Kang and his minions.
Wow. So
same thing.
Okay. Then someone else says here, there is a Twitter story that has developed. Steve Hoffmeyer attacked Charlize Theron for her parenting choices. Dear Charlize, he wrote in Afrikaans, my daughter sometimes wears pants. She is 20 months old. Do you think it's time to ask whether she's also feeling an excess of Y chromosomes?
Yassi, he's a deuce, hey?
No, I don't think so.
I think he's such a deuce.
I don't think so. I think it's much more of a deuce thing to do to use your child as a means to express your political points
of
view.
Not necessarily in this particular incident. He's a deuce in general.
He is, and I think that Steve is doing what Steve is the best at. He's being provocative, and that's all he's done for years now, and he's successful in every way at being provocative. Whether or not you like him is an entirely different story. It's just like Donald Trump. But the fact is, the post sparked a flurry of comments, transphobic comments from Hofmeyer's followers, which he chose not to curtail or condemn. Some of them called Theron sick and a slut and asked for the child to be indulged.
I hate people.
If they believe that they're a cat or a dolphin.
The internet makes me hate people. I was thinking, you know, Twitter, like, don't read the comments, right? Like Joe Rogan always talks about, like, firstly, he can't read 75,000 comments, and secondly, mm-hmm. there's only negativity in there. The comments section on anything internet, again, not trying to flog the Mortal Kombat dead horse, but, like, I'm interested in
but
these.
Go ahead.
No, but I'm using yeah. it as an example. Could apply to anything. You know, Manchester United, obviously not having a great run, so negativity is to be expected. But in any, like, they wished their Jewish fans Chag Sameach over Passover, and 95% of the comments are free Palestine. You know, they announce a new character in Mortal Kombat, 95% of the characters are, the comments are like, oh, this character sucks. It's like, well, fuck off. So don't read the comments is the point. The right. point, the nadir of humanity exists in the comments.
Yeah.
Twitter is just the comments.
Yeah, it is.
It's the comments.
It is.
And not the story. Well, that's what this shit reminds me of. It's like, everyone just expose your ignorance, your bigotry, and be a total doers in the hopes that someone reads it and cares.
But it's interesting because this isn't the first time Steve goes after Charlize. Once there was talks of Charlize Theron playing James Bond, and then Steve said something along the lines of, oh, well, in that case, I should be cast to play Shaka Zulu.
He's just jealous because he's she just, made it like, out. She's just as Lloyd Banks famously said at the G-Unit album, they just
drop
jealous.
Some
they're
rap
just,
knowledge.
They're just jealous because it made it out.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah, Charlize Theron has a 7-year-old child. She says that the child came to her at 3 years old and said, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. And Charlize has now said that my job as a parent is to celebrate them and to love them and to make sure they have everything they need in order to be what they want to be.
What other interesting feedback have you got from the wide world of listeners, GC?
This is why I'm not a parent.
I just want to say,
more and more,
there's a couple of reasons why you're not a parent here. Oh. I'll take you through them off air. But there's certain... No.
You know, this whole thing with Charlize is 7-year-old. A 7-year-old doesn't know whether it's a teapot or a hockey stick. That's the truth. If you're going to let a 7-year-old make a life-changing decision, and I mean, there are parents who think it's a good idea to allow their kids in their early teens to have sex changes. This is an ongoing problem in America at the moment. Now,
so you're not allowed to drink alcohol till a certain age. You're not allowed to drive a car till a certain age. You're not allowed to vote till a certain age. So by no means am I on the side of not letting people do what the fuck they want with their own. I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much to this. Really not intentional. Do what the heck they want with their own bodies. There should be a threshold as to when you're considered an adult. And, like, you can't vote until you... I don't know what the voting age in America is. Is it also 18?
It's just, like...
The driving age is 16?
For Charlize to feel the need to share this, first of all, is, to me, slightly questionable. Maybe she's feeling solidarity with the trans community. That's fine. Remember, only 1% to 2% of the world's population that are measured, and it could be even less than that, are trans. So it's a very, very tiny minority of people who are ever in the situation where they're having either a gender dysphoria, which is a very real problem, or that they feel,
and
for whatever other
fancy
reason,
term,
for whatever reason that they feel that they're in the wrong body, or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's a very tiny percentage of people. Now, for a 7-year-old to say, I'm a girl, not a boy, you know, you get little boys who dress up in little girls' outfits and little girls who dress up in boys' outfits. It doesn't mean they're transgender. Transgender is a very different thing. It's very serious.
Letting the kid dress in accordance with what are considered normal gender kind of practices, like, you know, girls dress typically like girls, boys dress typically like girls, letting the kid express itself in that way, I'm for. But when it becomes invasive or irreversible, if you can't vote, if you can't drink liquor, if you can't drive a car, sure as shit, you can't get surgery on your junk.
Well, not to spin heads even more, but we don't know what the child wants to do, nor has Charlize spoken to that. A lot of transgender people say that's how they feel internally and their body doesn't match to them, so they don't have to have reconstructive surgery. We don't know.
But the point is also the child doesn't know.
Do it when you're a grown-up. Do what you want when you're a grown-up.
And anything that involves medical procedures or setting up this... She's creating...
Or irreversible shit. So you think she's pushing it in that direction? Not,
I think she's
so
allowing...
So in the middle is allowing the kid to do as it wants?
I think she should just keep this between her and her kid for now.
Yeah.
For now. Yeah. That's like the good parent thing.
I agree with that.
Well, then you say there's something...
Don't use it as a campaign tool.
No, I'm just saying...
she's turning it into a political
thing. Who
talks
about their kid's sexuality anyway?
Now like, she's got Steve Hoffmeyer. It's not a sexuality, it's a gender thing.
Yes, sorry, but you know what I mean. She's, who talks about their kid's gender shit anyway?
Steve and his dumb supporters all climbing in on this. Listen, it would be better for your child to not have to face the kind of abuse that they might be unwittingly be getting. It would be better for you to not expose yourself to the abuse you'd be unwittingly getting, unless you've got a hero complex. And it would be better for everybody if everybody just left everybody else alone to do what they do.
Tell you where there's no good outcome. That's tonight's Manchester Derby.
Wow, what a segue.
Where if Manchester United beat City, they will essentially hand Liverpool, not that Liverpool haven't earned it, but they will essentially push Liverpool over the line for a title that we desperately don't want them to win. However, not winning means losing to Manchester City at home. Oof. Thankfully, I think, because a lot of fans, and obviously this would never happen, but a lot of fans are like, lose on purpose, fuck Liverpool. But I just don't think we actually are likely to beat City on form. So if we try our best and still lose to City, that for me will be an okay result. There's a bit of a gross one, but I have to use the analogy because it's funny. You're in your mom, your dad's in you. Do you push back and get out of mom or push forward and get your dad out of you?
I want to raise the past 40 seconds.
Yeah, okay, so that's what Man United fans are facing at the moment. Liverpool fans are supporting United for the first time ever. Let's just leave that one behind.
I don't know what's happening.
I wanted to do a bit of sport, and I'm saying it's United. Manchester United face a dark hour tonight, and Liverpool could potentially win the league.
I would like to apologize for a very big low that Gord has brought us to at the end of an otherwise very successful 2 hours.
I'm so lost in those past
there was
minute.
No sport. It's important sport. Well, I bet you a lot of people give a shit about this game.
It started with a weird segue and then was the analogy of my mother and my father that I just don't want to have.
That
okay,
funny.
That's it. Right. We're done.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you all very much for being a part of the fun this morning. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. We have a lot to get onto. We only have a short week, though, so we got to squeeze it in. If you felt like there was a lot being squeezed in this morning.
I was talking about. Never mind.
Knew it.
It's because we have so much to share.
Knew it, Gord.
So rude. All right, and you do whatever you want with your kid,
but
and
it's
if your
not
kid
even
wants
rude
to be
with God anymore.
If your kid wants to be a boy and it's a girl, then that's your business.
And your face says you love it. Your words are saying condemnation, but your face is saying you like it.
See you next week, Gord.
All right, yeah, everybody be good. We'll see Gord next week, and we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 8 o'clock.
Love y'all.
Happy days.
This was a lot.
Is that all?
Do what you want. Don't hurt other people.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.